I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today, 9/11 radio show host Gregory Longo is joining me in the studio. Greg does a weekly show called Speak Out on WBLQ out of Westerly, Rhode Island. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cheryl. Nice to be here.
It's September, and that brings with it the 11th anniversary of 9/11. And the 9/11 truth movement is still going strong. And I think there are two reasons for this. One is because the people in the movement span the political spectrum, so we can't be marginalized based on ideology. And second, because 9/11 has been a major turning point in our lives with many life-altering consequences. Today we're going to talk about why 9/11 is still important, where we've been, where we are, and what we know. And Greg is with me today to help with this analysis. So let's start with why 9/11 is still important. I'm going to read you parts of an article written on globalresearch.ca. They have a whole section there on 9/11, and they have videos. He's done like a whole expose on 9/11, including videos, articles, and it's all in there by topic. So I'd encourage you, if you want some more information, to check that out. Globalresearch.ca. It's a Canadian website. I'm going to read you part of that from the website discussing why 9/11 is still important and its consequences and impacts. So here goes. The tragic events of September 11, 2001 constitute a fundamental landmark in American history, a decisive watershed, a breaking point. Millions of people have been misled regarding the causes and consequences of 9/11. September 11, 2001 opens up an era of crisis, upheaval, and militarization of the American society. A far-reaching overhaul of U.S. military doctrine was launched in the wake of 9/11. Endless war of aggression under the humanitarian cloak of, quote, counterterrorism, unquote, were set in motion. 9/11 was also a stepping stone towards the relentless repeal of civil liberties, the militarization of law enforcement, and the inauguration of police state USA. September 11, 2001 marks the onslaught of the global war on terror, used as a pretext and a justification by the U.S. and its NATO allies to carry out a, quote, war without borders, unquote, a global war of conquest. The tragic events of 9/11 provided the required justification to wage war on Afghanistan on humanitarian grounds, with full support of world public opinion and the endorsement of the international community. Several prominent progressive intellectuals made a case for retaliation against terrorism on moral and ethical grounds. The just cause military doctrine was accepted and upheld at face value as a legitimate response to 9/11. In the wake of 9/11, the anti-war movement was completely isolated. The trade unions and civil society organizations had swallowed the media and government propaganda. They had accepted a war of retribution against Afghanistan, an impoverished country in Central Asia of 30 million people. The myth of the outside enemy and the threat of Islamic terrorists was the cornerstone of the Bush administration's military doctrine, used as a pretext to invade Afghanistan and Iraq, not to mention the repeal of civil liberties and constitutional government in America. Amply documented, but rarely mentioned in the mainstream media, Al-Qaeda is a creation of the CIA going back to the Soviet-Afghan War. This was a known fact corroborated by numerous sources, including official documents of the U.S. Congress, which the mainstream media chose to either dismiss or ignore. The intelligence community had time and again acknowledged that they had indeed supported Osama bin Laden. But in the wake of the Cold War, quote, he turned against us, unquote. The 9/11 Commission report has largely upheld the outside enemy mythology, heralding Al-Qaeda as the mastermind organization behind the 9/11 attacks. The official narrative has not only distorted the causes underlying the collapse of the Trade Center buildings, it has also erased the historical record of the U.S. covert support to international terrorism while creating the illusion that America and Western civilization are threatened. Without an outside enemy, there could be no war on terrorism. The entire national security agenda would collapse like a deck of cards. the war criminals in high office would have no leg to stand on. After 9/11, the campaign of media disinformation served not only to drown the truth, but also to kill much of the historical evidence on how this elusive Al-Qaeda outside enemy had been fabricated and transformed into enemy number one. That is an introduction to the 9/11 section on globalresearch.ca. So the events of September 11th, as described by the official story, frame our thinking and thus our acceptance of whatever our government chooses to do in response. For example, we think that we need to fear Islamic terrorism and that we need to use military force to stamp them out wherever they are deemed to be, without regard for international or domestic law. The official lie of 9/11 sets up our mental framework for accepting torture, an executive power grab, a gross loss of our civil liberties, and the killing of millions of innocent people in other countries. And this is why 9/11 is still important. Its myths and the fear created by these myths permeates our collective psyche and culture. Without the truth, we're a lost nation. Greg, do you want to add anything to why 9/11 is still important?
Well, it was a crime involving, it's a crime that's still unsolved, and the cover-up is still continuing. We see Osama bin Laden being killed for the third time. There's a lot of evidence from David Ray Griffin that he died in December of 2001 from a kidney failure. And even though the Obama administration has carried on the Bush administration's legacy of lying, for lack of better words, to the American public, and even on a grander scale, I think.
So, Greg, let's talk now about where the 9/11 truth movement has been and where we're going.
Well, obviously, the 9/11 truth movement is made up of many individuals and increasing in size as we speak. But we all start individually from wherever our place of reference is. I think my first indication that the official story was flawed at best came during the California San Francisco Citizens Inquiry into 9/11, headed by Cynthia McKinney, in 2004. There were events also hosted by Cynthia McKinney, Citizens Inquiry events before that, and subsequently, in 2007, there was a 9/11 symposium at St. Joseph's College.
And that was St. Joseph's College here in West Hartford, Connecticut.
A few years later, there was a Building 7 symposium in West Hartford, Connecticut. It was a Valley Forge symposium just a few years ago. So these are some of the ones I attended. There was also one in Santa Cruz just a few years ago. The Toronto hearings. Toronto is a very strong city in organizing and getting like-minded people together. They started as early as, I think, 2004. There was one on the 10th anniversary in 2011. And they're continuing to do very solid work, leaders in the field, about getting 9/11 truth, getting the facts out on the events of September 11, 2001. Those are just some of the events in the United States. Worldwide, I think there's a better knowledge of what really happened on September 11, 2001.
And in speaking of events, there was also a major effort in New York City, led by the victims' family members, to get a ballot initiative going where the New York City voters could vote for a new investigation into 9/11. They gathered 80,000 signatures, well above the required amount, but the judge involved ruled against them. There's also an ongoing effort to get a vote by ballot initiative in several other states. There are 9/11 radio shows all over the country and people doing cable access TV shows on 9/11 all over the country. Then there's the Remember Building 7 campaign that has raised money and bought TV commercials in New York City and in several major cities around the country, talking about Building 7, which was not hit by a plane, and giving some of the facts and asking for a new investigation. There's the 9/11 timeline that is an ongoing collection of mainstream media articles related to 9/11. In 2004, they made it into a book. You can get to the website by searching for 9/11 timeline and the guy who initiated the project, Paul Thompson. Greg, can you tell us about some other books written about 9/11?
It may not seem obvious to the average person, but there are many, but because they don't see these books in libraries, they don't see them in bookstores, they don't see them reviewed in the newspapers, but there are a lot of 9/11 books. Crossing the Rubicon was one of the first I read by Michael Rupert. David Ray Griffin.
I have to say, I read the Michael Rupert book, Crossing the Rubicon. I think that's a great read. That really gives you a whole bigger geopolitical picture. And I like that a lot. I'm glad you mentioned that.
And then Michael Rupert started his website, From the Wilderness. Man, he got in trouble. He had to leave the country. His site was hacked. His location from where he produced the program was bombarded with radiation. He became very sick. He had to go to Venezuela. He had to leave the United States, go to Venezuela, recuperate. And now he's, from my understanding, back in the United States. And that was Michael Rupert, one of the first. Ralph Schoenman was on to the truth about the events of September 11, 2001, early on. He started a website in early 2002. All his shows have been archived. He's an author of at least four books. He has just a few articles on his website, but one of them happens to be What is the Real Truth About the 1993 Bombings of the World Trade Center? And as I've learned from just reading that article and from other information, that was essentially a trial run. The same people most likely did the September 11th, 2001. And this was the attack on the World Trade Center in 1993. There have been other forerunners to that September 11th attack, one being the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. There were four unexploded bombs were found in that building. Scientists came out and said no amount of fertilizer could have caused the damage. With the books on September 11th, David Ray Griffin took up the banner in about 2004 or 5 with a new Pearl Harbor. This name was for the book was a takeoff on the project for the new American century, the neocon-Zioncon collaboration in the United States that essentially stated in their document, Project for a New American Century, that a new Pearl Harbor was needed to enable United States' global dominance of the world and its resources. David Ray Griffin went on to print at least 10 more books on 9/11. There was 9/11 in the American Empire, Intellectuals Speak Out, where he collaborated with a lot of Canadian academics, very articulate Canadian academics. The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, Cognitive Infiltration was another title about how the powers that be were infiltrating the 9/11 truth movement. So that's an indication, really, of how strong we've grown. Another one was Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive. 9/11, 10 years later, the new Pearl Harbor Revisited, and a few other ones that I'm missing. But that was sort of the dean of 9/11 authors, David Ray Griffin. Another book was Welcome to Terrorland by Daniel Hopsicker, told about what happened in Venice and Hollywood, Florida, how the alleged hijackers, the official version hijackers, were trained at military bases. Another book was The Hidden History of 9/11 by Dr. Paul Zaremka. So there is a wealth of information. There are two other books by David Ray Griffin, which are actually very influential. The Mysterious Collapse of World Trade Center 7 and 9/11 and American Empire, Intellectuals Speak Out. So those are some of the books. And if you haven't heard them, the average listener may not have heard them. They haven't been reviewed in any of the major newspapers.
Yes, you won't find them in the libraries, as Greg was mentioning earlier. So if you want a copy, you can go to your local bookstore and ask them to order them for you, or you can get them online. You can often Google the author, and you can go to their website and order them from them directly. And I wanted to add that David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor Revisited, which came out in 2008, did get chosen as the Publisher's Weekly Online Pick of the Week back in 2008. Some other authors who have written about 9/11 from a truth perspective are Ahmed Nafiz, Jim Mars, Barry Zwicker, Webster Tarpley, Terry Mason, and David Icke, to mention a few. There are two books that came out in 2011 that I think are pure disinformation pieces and perhaps part of the government's efforts at cognitive infiltration. They are Among the Truthers by Canadian journalist Jonathan Kay, which seems to be an ad hominem attack on prominent members of the 9/11 truth movement. But mostly it's a book that tries to deny the existence of the protocols of the Elders of Zion. Interestingly, when we did our 9/11 event here in 2007, the local Hartford Advocate newspaper covered the event with a cover page titled, "The Elders of Zion Blamed for 9/11. At our event, the Elders of Zion were never mentioned, nor was Israel. Once I read Among the Truthers, I decided I had to learn more about Israel's involvement in 9/11. You can see the full video of our 2000 event on the website ct911truth.org. The second book is called The 11th Day by Anthony Summers. I only read half of it, I must confess, because there was so much disinformation in the first half that I saw no point in reading further. So we've talked about the books, now let's take a look at the movies. Over the last 11 years, there have been many, many movies on 9/11, and I'm just going to give you the names of a few of them. For example, there was the Tower of Deception that was put out by Barry Zwicker, based on the title of his book, Towers of Deception. Painful Deceptions. There was the Loose Change series, which included four or five different movies. There was The Reflecting Pool, 9/11 Mysteries, the movie Zero, which was Italian and is one of my favorite, Press for Truth, which the family members created early on, among one of the first movies. And then there were the two Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth movies, the first one being Blueprint for Truth, and the more recent one that just came out this year, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. And again, those are just some of the many, many movies about 9/11 put out by the 9/11 Truth movement. There are also many websites about 9/11. There are hundreds, probably thousands of websites dedicated to 9/11 Truth. One of the first ones to be created was 911truth.org. And I think that took a lot of courage early on to set up that website. It has a lot of really good information on it. Another one is 9/11 Blogger, which has been an important one to the movement, where people post daily any news items connected to 9/11 Truth. People from around the world post their information there, and there are 9/11 Truth movements in most countries in the Western world anyway. And there are professional websites that have been created. For example, there are the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. There are Pilots for 9/11 Truth. Military Officers for 9/11 Truth, Medical Professionals for 9/11 Truth, Pilots for 9/11 Truth, Lawyers for 9/11 Truth, Religious Leaders for 9/11 Truth, Journalists and Other Media Professionals for 9/11 Truth, Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth, and the list goes on. So as you can see, the movement is really large, it's growing all the time, and it has lots of really professional people. One of the other good websites that I failed to mention was the Journal of 9/11 Studies, which has lots of good articles on it. And another website that I like that if you've listened for a while, you know, is globalresearch.ca. It deals with not only 9/11, but global issues that are connected to 9/11.
Another new book, it's probably the latest out, just out within the last 2 weeks. It's by Christopher Blinn called Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World. His website is Christopher Bolin, B-O-L-L-Y-N, Journalist Sans Frontiers. And on his website, he has archives dating back to 2001, all related to 9/11.
And that brings me to the topic of what's new in the 9/11 Truth Movement. And that book that Greg just mentioned is one. But there are quite a few other things, which is quite exciting. First of all, in the past year, the 9/11 Consensus Panel was developed by David Ray Griffin and other leaders in the movement, where they can agree on the issues that they can agree on. So there is some discord in the 9/11 Truth Movement, but they have the consensus panel to see what we can all have consensus on. And you can go to their website, 911consensuspanel.org. Another thing that's new, Paul Rhea, last name R-E-A, has a book out. It's called 9/11 Mounting Evidence, which covers a lot of the issues from A to Z in 9/11. Kevin Ryan is doing some new research on what he calls another 19, and he looks at perhaps 19 people in official capacity who may be more likely to be the guilty parties when it comes to 9/11. So I guess he's going to be putting out a book eventually with that. So you can learn more about that by going to his website, which is digwithin.com. Also, in Toronto on 9/11, on the anniversary, they are going to have what they call 9/11 in the academic community. They're going to be talking about that. And you can learn more about that by going to their website, which is 911inacademia.wordpress.com. Also, the Colorado Public TV station, I believe it's in Boulder, during their fundraising drive this past August, they aired the Experts Speak Out movie done by the Architects and Engineers. And I think they did that because they get lots of donations when they air 9/11 movies. So they do that when they're doing fundraising, and they give away the movies when someone donates. And then another update in the 9/11 Truth Movement is that the actors and artists are making a movie on 9/11, and it was originally called A Violation of Trust, but now it's going to be called Trickery and Treachery, and it confronts the catastrophic consequences of 9/11, such as the illegal and costly invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq under false pretenses, and it demonstrates that the war on terror is in truth a war of terror. They're short on funds, which is why it's taking them a long time to get that out. Anyway, their website is aa911truth.org. And I also want to let you know what's going on in New York City from September 8th through September 11th. And there's going to be demonstrations at different places around the city. One is at the Council on Foreign Relations. They'll also have speakers there like Richard Gage and Wayne Madsen and Susan Lindauer, who will also be coming to West Hartford to speak on October 4th. She's a CIA whistleblower who has some inside information on 9/11. And they'll be showing a new movie that's coming out on Sunday the 9th in New York called Top Priority, The Terror Within. And that is a documentary film by Fleur de Lis Film Studios. And it features an incredible true story of Julia Davis, a national security whistleblower who was falsely declared a domestic terrorist and was subjected to retaliation of unprecedented portions by the Department of Homeland Security. So they'll be showing that movie, and that'll be coming out this fall also. So lots of things going on in the 9/11 Truth Movement. It continues to grow. The investigation gets deeper and deeper into the issues. So there's a lot happening. And now I want to ask Greg to spend the last few minutes of the show with me. Let's talk about what we know from all the research that's been done. What are some key things? This is the 9/11 Truth Movement. The research is vast. It's just huge, and it takes a lot to get on top of all of it. But there are some key things that we know that we'd like to share with you before we end the show today. One of them I'll start with is that Osama bin Laden was never wanted by the FBI or the Justice Department for the events of 9/11. The Muckraker report contacted the FBI and spoke with Rex Toom back in 2006. They wanted to know why Osama bin Laden wasn't wanted for 9/11 on the FBI's most wanted page, because he was there wanted for other events. And they were told that they have no hard evidence linking Osama bin Laden to 9/11. Now, have you heard about that in the corporate media? And if not, why not? That's like huge news, especially after the whole charade last May, a year ago in May, when we supposedly killed Osama bin Laden. So, Greg, what are some other facts that we know?
I think we've learned a little bit about the so-called mainstream American media over the last 10 years.
Right. It's a fact that they don't cover the truth about 9/11. They won't interview the architects and engineers, the 1,700 of them who say that the official story can't possibly be true, that it violates the law of physics.
And there's a quote that I just picked up recently, the New York Times lead editorial on September 11th. 2004. Essentially, it says, the New York Times summed up the events of 9/11 as saying, we've begun to understand that it's possible to know what happened without knowing what happened. I think that's probably the greatest example of talking out of both sides of one's mouth you could imagine. And you can carry on your research from there as to sources that will tell you the truth about what has happened on September 11, 2001 and since then.
Yeah, good point. And another fact that we know is that Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA, and I just read recently that it is now working alongside of us and NATO in Syria. So I'll leave you to figure that one out. And another fact, Greg?
Well, I introduced my radio show. It's been going on 8 years. And I say, after the 8 years, it's kind of distilled the two subjects. It's come down to what happened on 9/11 and our entangled relationship with the state of Israel. And the more you look into 9/11, the more you see the evidence of Israeli participation. And that's an understatement. You can go to the 800-pound gorilla website, and you'll find a 46-page article on Mossad involvement in 9/11. And you can go to Victor Thorne's book, which we forgot to mention. It's called Made in Israel, 9/11 and the Jewish Plot Against America. He's not very subtle in his titles of his books, but this came out on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. But these are the two subjects that I've gravitated to in my 8 years of doing radio work. And it's kind of you go where the evidence leads you, and you also go where the silence leads you. And there's obviously a lot of silence around Well, both subjects, both topics.
Then I want to point out, along with what Greg is saying, that the former Italian premier Francesco Cossiga was quoted a few years back as saying that everyone in the intelligence communities around the world know that it was the CIA and the Israeli Mossad that did 9/11. That's a fact.
He said it in late 2007. He said it in the leading Italian newspaper. And he's familiar with governments inflicting pain and devastation on their own citizens through his experience with Operation Gladio, which is another essentially forerunner of September 11th, 2001.
Another fact we know is that there was nanothermite found in a variety of samples of dust from the World Trade Centers. And nanothermite is a military-grade explosive. And scientists have examined that and have said that those explosives were there. Another fact we know is that...
Yeah, Jane Stanley, a BBC announcer, actually announced the free-fall collapse of World Trade Center number 7 20 minutes before it actually occurred. While she was doing her announcing that Building 7 had collapsed, the 47-story steel frame building, World Trade Center number 7, the building was behind her as she made the announcement that the building had collapsed. And previous to her announcement, over the past several previous hours, there were indications and rumors that the building was going to collapse. And so I don't think it was coincidental that the feed from the BBC to the United States was cut off soon after Jane Stanley made her comments or prediction. So some of these facts are overwhelming or maybe haven't grabbed your attention. There is a comedy routine by the French comedian Jean-Marie Bigand, B-I-G-A-N-D, but he has 14 skits, approximately 4 minutes each, where he spoofs the official version of the events of September 11, 2001. He's crucified by the French government for it. He was actually good friends with the French President Sarkozy at the time, but he did get a lot of response. And if you go to these little skits, I think that's just another way of getting interested in what really happened that day, if all this other stuff sounds too serious.
And just one more fact, Pentagon survivor April Gallup has said that when she came out of the hole that was made in the Pentagon by whatever was there, she saw no plane, no body parts, no luggage.
And there is a website, Killtown, which deals with the 9/11, and there are a series of pages where 276 strange coincidences evolving from the events of 9/11. And I think if you go over this, many of these will capture your attention immediately.
Well, and here's another fact. We're out of time today. And so, Greg, thank you very much for being on the show. And if listeners want to hear your show, where can they go to do that?
It's called Speak Out. It's on WBLQ out of Westerly, Rhode Island. You can hear it over the internet at WBLQ.net each Sunday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Thanks for being on the show, Greg.
Hey, thank you.
And here are three more quick facts. The 9/11 Commission was a sham, and many of the commissioners themselves have said so. We've been lied to about almost all aspects of 9/11, and there's a major cover-up going on. That's why so many people around the world who have taken the time to review the mounting evidence are putting so much time and effort into movies, radio and TV shows, books, websites, speaking tours, etc., all to expose the lies of 9/11. The negative consequences of being taken in by the official story are life-altering for everyone on the planet. And now, as you heard during the show, author and CIA whistleblower Susan Lindauer will be speaking in West Hartford on October 4th at 7 p.m. as part of a New England tour. Stay tuned for more details. 9/11 Wake Up Call is archived at radioforall.net, and that's the digit for radioforall.net. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.